Okay, so let's try this mission again. Okay, on Chof Dalet Amud. So we were setting it up last week. The Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Okay, but what's the basic subject matter of this Mishnah? Is we are accepting a puzzle for din. Okay, Rashi learns it's all talking about Dayanim. Some say maybe he's talking about Edim, but in either case, there's the din Torah. Din Torah requires disqualifies certain people to be your dayan, okay, krovim and psuim, and this person, these two, agree to accept upon themselves a karov or apostle, a karov in these cases, right? So the question is, so the machlokes, if it's binding. Reb Meir says it's yochel lachzer bo, and Chachamim say eino yochel lachzer bo. Okay. Yeah. Now, just off the bat over here, what's the inyan? In other words, what's the question? Whether you're bound or not. What's the question whether you're bound or not? There shouldn't be any mistake about this. There's no such thing as a din with a karov or a pasul. It's not a din. If the pasul, if your father is sitting on the din Torah, and you're the litigant, it is not a din Torah. Okay? There's no way to remediate that type of a thing. It's not like if you accept him, then he's kosher. Right? Not Judge like what's that?
Like Judge Judy, you sign up for her psak din.
Right, you can't sign up for her psak din, but you can accept something outside of din. That's what's going on over here. You can say,
"Oh, fine."
You can say, "I agree to settle this not by strict din." And since it's not by strict din, your father can judge us. Okay. It's not like you're not bringing your father into the, you're not being machshir him.
So Rashi's
accepting him.
Rashi's not being literal when he says dekibla alai bechad dayana. Like he's not.
Where
being,
are you there?
What's the first you? Rashi in the Gemara.
You mean by calling him a dayan?
Yeah, he's not being literal.
Why the word dayan literally means kasher?
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know what, like, how strict that word.
He means as a judge,
an arbitrator, of some sort.
That's right. Binding arbitration.
Okay, one second. We'll hold on to your question.
All right.
So this raises a question. Okay. So over here you have machlokas tanayim. Okay. Is it binding or not? If they agree to go by to accept the apostle as a dayan, right? Okay. So the Nemuki Yosef raises just a basic question over here. Okay, it's I think it's a good first point to make.
By saying backing out, by the way, you mean like a retrial?
No, I wouldn't say a retrial. I would say a trial.
Oh, you're saying because the first one wasn't good to begin with.
You don't mean literally a retrial, right? Okay.
I mean literally wake me up, yeah.
No, it means Chozerbo means that the decision is not binding. You go through the case, whatever it is, and you say, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want this anymore. Okay? So, if you remember when we were doing the first parak a little, so we had a similar issue, and that was a question by Pshara. Okay, by Pshara, the Gemara says, let's say we go to Dayanim. Let's say we go to Dayanim, and we say we don't want din, we want Pshara. Okay, So what is pshara? Pshara means we want to be judged just by fairness. We don't want to be bound by the strict rules of edus and those types of things. We just want we'll tell you our story, and we want you to do what you think is fair. That's called pshara. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So pshara is also outside of din. So the Gemara on Vav says hilchasa pshara tzricha kinyan. That if you want to be bound to pshara, you have to actually do a maisa kinyan. As you go in front of the Beis Din, and the Beis Din, it's a mitzvah for the Beis Din to say to you, do you want din or do you want pshara? The Beis Din should try to push you to pshara, because pshara is considered to be a mishpat that has with it shalom. Wait, did we discuss this? I don't think we did. On Friday maybe we discussed it. In other words, the Gemara says that there's a preference, the machlokas exactly when and in what circumstances, but we hold there's a preference for pshara. Because the pasuk says, Vayi David osa mishpat ut tzedakah. So how could you have mishpat and tzedakah? Mishpat is justice and tzedakah is chesed, is charity. So the Gemara says, lo kol makom sheyesh mishpat ain tzedakah, tzedakah ain mishpat. Ella eizehu mishpat sheyesh bo tzedakah, haviyomer zeh bitzua. Bitzua means pshara. Okay. Or the Gemara says, emesu mishpat shalom, emesu mishpat shalom shachtu b'sharechem. So what's a mishpat shalom? The Gemara says, wherever there's mishpat, there's no shalom. Whenever there's shalom, there's no mishpat. Right? So he says, what does it mean it's a mishpat sheyesh bo shalom? That's pshar. So what's the pshat? No, the pshat is like this. When two people come into court, so they're adversaries. Okay, they're against each other, obviously, right? And what? And they're each claiming 100% for themselves, right? This one says it's mine, and this one says it's mine. And they're presenting absolute alternatives, right? Either I'm going to win the case or he's going to win the case. So the proceeding is adversarial, and it's demanding a 100% acquittal or a 100% conviction. Doesn't leave open the possibility for the any type of gradation. So you remain. You come in as adversaries and you leave as adversaries. One guy is going to come. One guy is going to walk out vanquished, and one guy is going to walk out as a victor. Okay. So that's when there's mishpat, there's not shalom. Doesn't bring them closer together. But pshara says, look, when two people agree for pshara already, they're already admitting that we don't have the claim to absolute truth. Neither one of us claims any idea of absolute righteousness over here. We know human affairs are messy, and people see things different ways. And I'm open to the possibility that you're a little bit in the right, and I'm a little bit in the wrong. So just the idea of pshara itself already breaks down this whole idea of me against you, and I'm right and you're wrong. And recognizing that there's room in the middle, and maybe I didn't express myself properly, maybe I misunderstood what you said. I'm not calling you a rusher. So that's pshara. Pshara really says, look, we recognize this as a possibility, and we want to go b'derech, yashar, fairness. Okay? Whereas al pi din, maybe if I didn't make the proper kinyan, I would lose. Or if I don't have, if I can't prove a specific thing, I would lose. But al pi pshara, the dayanim can take into account our whole story, believe us, listen to us, and work out something that seems fair. Sound good? Good. The only thing is, when you agree to pshara, you're giving up din. Okay, and din is really what we're automatically bound by. So how do you get rid of din? Right? In other words, din is the basic halacha of the Torah. So whatever we did it in the context of din. And now we're saying we don't want to be bound by din. But how can you not be bound by din? That's the halacha. What? No, it's the halacha. I mean, the din gives me a zechus, maybe a zechus mamon, and or not. But
din itself is not, would not be considered.
Din itself, right? So that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that that's how we wanted to define the machlokas in the Gemara. Gemara has a question: if you go to a beis din and you say we want pshara, do you not have to have a kinyan on that, right? So you say the question is like this: Is pshara like a secondary halachic phenomenon that if you're mochel, like you said, you have a zechus to din. If you're mochel on your, if you give up your zechus to din, then you're automatically on the pshara. So if you go to the base and you say we want pshara, you're bound by it. Or is din absolute, and in order to be chayiv in pshara, it's an extra thing that you have to be makabel on yourself. You have to actually sign up for it. You have to take it upon yourself. So then you would need a kinyan. It'd be like just a new tanai mominus. Kol tanai shav mominus kayan. So we'll just say, look, we know din is really what we're bound to, but we agree to go by pshara. But how do you get out of, how do you remove yourself from din? So you have to make a kinyan. You have to like make a contractual agreement basically between us that this is how we'll settle our dispute. And that's a lot. Kol tanai shav mominus kayam. So we could choose any way to settle our dispute. We can say if it's rainy tomorrow, I'll give you the money. I mean, it's if we make a proper kinyan and have the proper gemiras to us, we can have a kinyan on something. So, but the point is, the Gemara says hilchasa pshara tzvicha kinyan. So if we want to go by pshara, we have to actually be makabel a kinyan. What would the kinyan be? Right? This is what we were working on a couple weeks ago. Lemaisa, what is the actual kinyan? So the Acharonim say, I mean the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, what it really would be is like a kinyan suda. It would be like this. If I would owe, let's say you are claiming $10,000 from me. Right? You want money from me. Ready? It's always a little confusing to think about these things. Let's say you're claiming money from me. So now, what are the stakes? What are the stakes? I might have to pay. Well, let's make it simple. Let's make it simpler. Let's say you claim that a piece of property is yours, and I claim a piece of property is mine. Okay. So then, so we would actually make a kinyan on the property. And I would say, I am makna to you. Let's say it's practically in my possession. I'd say, I'm makna to you the piece of property according to what the Dayanim say. Okay? So it's a real kinyan. It's a real kinyan. It's not just a kinyan that we agree to go by the Dayanim. That's a question if that's... that's not the preferable kinyan. The preferable kinyan is there should be chal on a chefza that's really in dispute. And I'm really makna it to you according to their din of shtar. Or you can write a shtar. That's what they do nowadays. They write a shtar. That we agree to the decision of the beis din, to follow that decision. So anyway, the Nemuk Yosef's question is like this. He says, how come by pshara everybody agrees that you need to have a kinyan? Right? He says like this. V'i kasher loch. I have a hard time finding it. It's on Dalet, right? Vi kasha, amai mahani kabbalah below kinyan. How come it's enough over here just to accept it? Over here you say, look, I accept your father. But you don't need a kinyan. Below kinyan klal. Tfei mi pshara, the kaimalam perakama, the boy kinyan. Vim nasis below kinyan eino klum. So we say by pshara that if we both go to beis din and we say I want pshara, and we don't make a kinyan, we can always back out once the decision comes. Whatever is at any point it seems you can back out. Say I changed my mind. I want to go to din, because din is really the default. Din is really the absolute. And if I don't pull myself out of din with a kinyan, I'm always under din. Right. So how come by pshara we say you need to have a kinyan to lock yourself into pshara? If you don't make a kinyan, a physical kinyan, of a key in Sudor or a Shtar, then you can always change your mind and go back to Din. And over here we say you can accept your father or his father or three shepherds who aren't fit for a real Din. I can just accept them verbally, and then according to the Chachamim, I'm locked in. Right? That's part of the question, right? In other words, why do you need a kinyan? Because it's not Meshuras HaDin. It's not the bounds of Din. In other words, his question is very simple. Both of them represent exceeding the bounds of Din. The bounds of Din require you go by the strict halachos of Choshen Mishpat, and they require Kasher Dayanim, right? So in either case, I'm going outside the bounds of Din. How come by Pshara, in order to be locked in, I need a kinyan? And by accepting a curve or a puzzle, I don't? It should be the same thing. You're either in Din, or you're removing yourself from Din. How come to remove yourself from Din by Pshara needs a kinyan? And to remove yourself from Din by accepting a curve or a puzzle, doesn't need a kinyan, according to the Rabban? Right? V'hachanami, Abba Vavicha, V'roet Bakar, Eina Monim, Mishur Sadin. It's the same thing. Yeah, but neither one is, they're both outside the Shur Sadin. Okay, V'tirtsu, Dishani Hocha. This case is different. Why? D'mikol makom l'din hein ma'aminin osam. Hilkach gomri umaknil. Ma she'en came bipshara. She'eno dover misuyam. Valo tiluya bidaito shabotzea. Hilkach lo somcha daite. Valo mahani ela bikin. So what's he saying? Just pshat.
He's saying that.
What's the difference between the two cases? What is the difference between what you're signing up for?
He's saying that this is really.
So he says, over here at least you're accepting them. You're accepting them for din, right? Over here, it's l'din heim ma'amin and osam. Those we agree. Look, the Torah says you're not ne'amanim for din. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says your father, my father, these shepherds here are not ne'amanim for din. That's what the Torah says, right? So they couldn't force you to come to a din. Anything they said would not be valid. But we say, look, we're going to go by a different standard here. It's momentous. We have a right to do what we want. And we will accept them for din. For what the Torah says they're not worthy for, we'll let it go. We're not such sticklers over here. Okay? Then he says, it's gomri umakna. But by pshara, it's not davar mesuyam. What does it mean, a davar mesuyam?
It's not a specific thing.
Right. Literally. There's no definite thing over there. There's no specific thing. It's just what they think is fair. There's no real objective rules that they can go by. So then, they're not somech das. There's no gemiras das over there. And without a kinyan, it's not going to be good. Yeah. Now, I just wanted to bring out the point first before we get into it a little more deeply. The point is that this whole Mishnah, this whole Inyan, just like Pshara, is really a machlokes, and the whole subject matter is removing yourself and binding yourself to something that's not Din. Right? It's not like there's a machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim. If the soul of the father is subjective or objective, or something like that. No, everybody agrees it's not. Everybody agrees this is not din Torah. Once a relative is sitting on the basin, it's not a din Torah. The question is, it's a different machlokas. Can you bind yourself voluntarily to a non din Torah verbally like this? The Gemara later on says openly. The Gemara says if you make a kinyan, then you definitely can do it. If you actually do a kinyan, then you'd definitely be bound. Everybody agrees, no question about that. The question over here is without a kinyan. And the Muki Yosef is trying to explain a little bit of the inyan. Why he brings up another good case. He brings up by Pshara, everybody agrees you need a kinyan. But over here, you have a machlokas. So let's see if we can work on it a little bit. Yes, what are you saying, Avi?
Well,
The kinyan creates a personal hischayos. Creates a personal obligation. I could right now, if I wanted to, I could take a, I can make a kinyan and obligate myself in $1 million to you. Mm-hmm. If I want to, I could do that. I could be mischayev benasho, right? That's what we discussed a couple weeks ago. That some people use that type of an idea to do halachic estate planning. There's something called a shtar chatzi zachar, where the person basically obligates himself in a $100 million debt contingent on the sons not giving the, if the sons don't give the daughters a certain share of the estate. So then it just basically becomes, it forces a hand, because if they don't give the money, then there'll be a pre-existing debt that will wipe out the whole estate. So if they don't give the money to the sisters, they'll get no money. So pretty much and that's called the shtar chatzi zachar. It's an old shtar. I mentioned the Rama mentions it. Because it's a mitzvah to make your daughters to help them to get married. So that's like a nedunya. So you want to be sure that if you're not around, you'll be able to help them get married. So they would make this shtar chatzi zachar. But it's contingent on the fact that you just mischayev yourself. I can just obligate myself in something. Okay. So a kinyan is just a form of obligating yourself in something. Like a present. So what's a pshara without a kinyan? It's an empty promise. Just like ever, I can promise to give you $10 million, it's worth nothing. I have to really be gomar umakni. You understand? What's the difference if I just say, I promise to give you $10 million? Well, we'll all say, you didn't really mean it. That's what you'll say. You say, he didn't mean it. Whatever reason he said it, he was trying to make him feel good, he's making himself look like a big shot to everybody else, whatever it was, he didn't mean it. But if he wrote up a document and gave it to him, or if he did a kinyan sudar, then we say he's a gomor makni. So, you know, kinyanim go by gemiras das. If I really intend to do it, and we all know that it's truly my intent to make this ischayvus, to transfer this property, then it's good. The thing is, we need a kinyan. King is basically the way halacha says to objectify that gemiras das. You don't get involved in questions of did he really mean it, not really mean it. But it comes down to gemiras das. There are certain cases where you don't need a kinyan to have gemiras das. Like Gemara says the discussions that they have at the wedding about who's obligated and what, those are dvarim that are nicknamed, those things are the kinyan bidvarim. Certain things you can say. Since that setting, and then the father's promising this, and the father of the bride is promising this, father of the son is promising this, they say they mean everything they say. So it's possible to be mechayev yourself even without a ma'asekin. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for, can we say he's a gomar umakni? Can we say he truly, willingly signed up for this? Or he just said it for whatever reason. He just said it for whatever reason. It's like, like Gemara says, if I see you in the street and I say, you owe me $100, and you say, yeah, I know, and that's worthless. Because they say, he just said it to get away from me, because I was nudging him. But if I took you in front of Adam and said, these are my witnesses, you owe me $100, and you say, yes, that's a different story. That's a different story. So a lot of it comes down to trying to figure out and evaluate what we can say about a person's gemir's das. Okay? It's the beginning of this whole thing, because the next Mishnah takes up the subject matter of a smachta. That's all has to do with this even more. When you make a deal, do we say you mean it or not? That's the gambling question. Everybody's favorite sugya, the gambling sugya. In other words, the mukiyah, as it seems to be saying, is like this: that you don't need a kinyan. You don't need a kinyan over here. Why? In other words, we don't need a kinyan when we can say from the circumstances that there is something that the person completely is committed to. In other words, the king, the Maisa Kinyan is not necessary over here because there is an institution of din, okay, that he is committing to. So there's something objective, there's some real thing that we can say he has, he completely is, has obligated himself to. There's a davar mesuyim, there's an actual set of rules and a certain procedure that he's committing to. Okay? But by pshara, there's nothing definitive that there is nothing that he can be committed to other than saying he agrees to go by a certain outcome. In other words, there's a difference between pshara and this. By pshara, there's nothing definitive that I can say I have evaluated, I understand it, I know how it works, and I'm committed to it. You can't commit to an unknown. It says the commitment to an unknown is not a definite commitment. It says it's only by, without a definitive entity for your das to be gomer on, you need an extraneous maisa kinyan to bind yourself to the outcome. Now there's two ways that you can be on the hook, either because I just bind myself to an outcome, or I can commit to a present entity. But if the thing is not in existence, you can't say I have evaluated it and decided fully to accept it. Pshara is nothing. There's nothing in pshara that I can say. You've looked it over. You've thought it through, and now you. There's no way to have a full. There's nothing existing that I can commit to. It's a complete unknown. So then for that, all I can say is, I will just arbitrarily bind myself to whatever outcome comes down the pike. But for that, you need a kinyan. For that, you need a kinyan. Because that's a totally extraneous thing. That's just like picking something that doesn't exist.
Right, you can't bind yourself to something intangible. You
can't bind yourself to something that doesn't exist. So there is no process of pshara to talk about. Now, it's not that you need a Maisa Kinyan to go outside of the din. You need a Maisa Kinyan when there's nothing that your das can be accepting of as a process, as an entity. Shara is not a... you have to be able to say that he evaluated it and he agreed to it. But the process of pshara is just whatever this guy decides in the end.
Why isn't accepting the result enough?
Because the result doesn't exist. The result does not exist.
Because before the case, with the case of the father, before the case even starts, there's a result. There's an answer.
That's right.
So you're right and what's wrong.
Before the case even starts, you can trace back where the result is coming from. And that's what I'm agreeing to.
Because they're going to use halachic determination.
They're
going
to have to use halachic determination. And I'm deciding that his interpretation of halacha is the halacha that I'm happy with. But by pshara, it's just a total free-for-all. There's no rules, no guidelines. And there's no way to be able to tell him you exceeded your right as a botzeah. There's no such thing. So now, there's nothing in existence now. So what am I committing to? I can't fully encapsulate what I'm committing to. There's nothing defined. So all I can say is, it's just I'll go by the outcome. But to go by the outcome, that doesn't exist now. There is no outcome now. So now I need to do a Maisa Kinyan to fully bind myself. We'll discuss it more. It needs to be further explained.
There's no din where these guys make.
See, there's a rush. I have to show you. There's a rush. Interesting rush I saw the other day, and he says all of these. This only works because there is an existing relationship between the two of you. There is already an existing relationship of din that exists. The litigants. It's not like they're just signing up. It's not like they're just agreeing to do something out of the blue. It's not like I just meet you and I say, hey, I agree that whatever this guy says, if this guy thinks I should give you $10,000, I'll give it to you. You know what I mean? That's totally, that definitely is not has no bearing. But we already are bound to each other by din, by something. And now I'm accepting, now we're accepting like a, no, is he saying, there's a difference between accepting the modification of the din and accepting a totally new thing on yourself. Let's think it through a little bit more.